Talk about it with Fran Jez. Today's special guest is a published author, an educator, an artist, a host, a curator, an activist. The list goes on. Wow. Today's guest is Yonkers' very own, Tom Ray.
Yeah, yeah. Peace, my brother.
Thank you for coming on my show.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the introduction, too, man.
It's we appreciate
your introduction. Right.
Because this is all good for the people.
Yeah.
Everything you do. And we're going to dive deep. But first, let's have a little wellness check. How you doing today?
Oh, man. All is well. All is well. Happy to be here, man. You know, happy to be here. Happy to always, you know, share my heart and share my art, man, with the people, you know.
Perfect.
Great hospitality as well.
I like that. I like that. Let's do it. Let's continue this great hospitality. Let's start from the beginning. Wow. Where were you born?
Right here in Yonkers, man. Yonkers, New York, man.
Beautiful.
Yonkers, New York. Yes, indeed.
Yonkers love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's jump into the books. Three published books. Let's start with the first one. The Thoughts of Ray.
From My Heart to Yours. Yeah, The Thoughts of Ray, From My Heart to Yours, published in 2012. Man, you got straight into it too, friend, you know? That first book is a compilation of my poetry, socially relevant, consciously sound, a sense of direction, you know what I mean? Just it was me, you know, welcoming the world into my thoughts, you know what I mean? Really sharing my heart. And sharing what was on my heart and my mind coming from the communities where we come from, you know, and I just wanted to get my thoughts across to people, man. And really be able to, as an artist, be able to create a lane from it as well, you know. Now that I know, because when I put the first book out, I didn't have an idea about what I was doing aside from knowing that I just wanted to put some work out there, you know, and then getting into the journey has been phenomenal. Phenomenal, man.
That's awesome.
Right.
And then your second is Progress After Its Nemesis.
Yeah. Pain. Pain as an acronym. Yeah. So that's an autobiography of my life infused with poetry. And I started writing that book in 2013. Directly after I put out the first book, because I was in such a writing mode that during the time that I put the first book out, I was in that process of seeking knowledge of self, man. So then I began to understand how powerful my story was and is, you know, and around that time I was just gaining the liberty and the courage to be able to tell my story and to finally get it thoroughly off of my heart so I could really, really move forward from what I have faced in my life, you know, where.
That sounds like therapy.
That's honestly when I first discovered the gift, man. It was truly a therapeutic outlet for me, man, because I remember coming home from school, you know, just journaling, doodling, you know what I mean? Doodling, you know, writing on anything I got my hands on, pieces of paper, you know, brown paper bags, of course, having a notebook. But I, like I said, I was writing on any and everything just to get my thoughts out.
Yeah, definitely therapy. And the third one, The Thoughts of Ray, the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first one was like introduction, and this one dives a little deeper into things.
Yeah. So the third book is basically the growth of it all. You know what I mean? I believe the third book actually was the longest process in regards to getting it published. You know, because from 2016 to 2021, it was so much of my creativity surfacing then, you know, where, you know, being able to write that second book and begin to tell the story, begin to teach from the story, beginning to create creative writing experiences and also creating like a spoken word curriculum, you know, the Expressive Readers Writers Course. So in between the time frame from 2016 to 2021, you know, that it was just so much growth. And then I decided, you know what, let me take it back to the beginning, but really show them how far it has gone, you know, with the sequel. And then that's when I decided to also record the soundtrack, because people are, along the journey, people were asking for an audio book, you know, And I'm like, you know what? Let me really tap into my artistry, my creativity, and, you know, continue drifting left, doing something different that hasn't been done in some time, you know. So that's what I gave them, the Thoughts of Rated sequel times a soundtrack.
Nice. I like that. Very creative.
Yeah. So,
what's your writing process like physically?
Wow.
Do you have to be somewhere mentally or physically?
That's a very complex question for me, man, because in the simplest answer I could give you, my writing, I could be anywhere and get inspiration from just about anything, you know, having different discussions and, of course, waking up early in the morning and being able to receive the peace and the unbothered energy that comes with waking up early and, you know, reading, of course, music. Music is a great foundation for my writing, because different artists that inspire me, you know, I hear a word from them and I just start jotting and becoming inspired to write what I decide to write, you know. So it's I get inspiration from everywhere, man.
Who are your favorite artists? You have a top five?
Well, shit, I got a top 10.
Run through the 10. More the merrier.
Honestly, in no chronological order, you know what I mean? X, the late great DMX, never being biased, you know, that he's definitely a great inspiration of mine. Jadakiss as well, Tupac, Nas, the storytelling of Biggie, of course. Gil Scott-Heron, you know, different poets. My brother Marcus John, you know, great inspiration as well. Large Amount. These are artists from Yonkers that I'm naming that I'm inspired by as well.
Of course.
You know, so it's like,
it's a lot of talent.
Yeah,
in the city.
Absolutely. Another brother that. You know, around the time I started writing, he and I, we were working at Sears together. My brother Denzel Porter from the Bronx, incredible talent. So dudes like him and different lyricists, different poets that I have been privileged to meet and rub shoulders with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Share stages with, you know, so it's... Wow. Oh, man. It's still a lot of artists, of course. You know, nowadays it's wild, man, because I hear people, after I perform at a show or something like that, I hear people say, yo, do you know who KRS-One is? I'm like, of course, you know. But as I dived into his catalog years later, man, he has become an inspiration, of course.
He's still releasing music now on his YouTube.
Yeah. It's art. It doesn't die.
It doesn't die.
When you're doing what you love, man, you'll continue to do it and continue to just, you know.
And his music has a message, so he's helping with.
Yeah, KRS, Rakim, all of them, man. Big fans of Wu-Tang as well. Just their level of artistry, vulnerability, creativity, you know, their wordplay, all of that, man. It's like, honestly, my inspiration comes from a gumbo of just art, man.
Yeah.
Art. Sincerely.
I can see that. What's your definition of love?
Wow. Self. My definition. Matter of fact, God, self. God and self. Off the top of my mind right now, truly God, because God is love. And when we begin, when we thoroughly love ourselves, you know, that's all we will ever exude, you know, is love. So, and that's me 1,000%, man, you know.
What religion do you grow up in?
Love.
Yeah?
Love. Love, man. You know, nice. Love, yeah. Yeah, that's all I truly exude, man. That's the, it's the strongest vibration, man. So that question, my definition is me. It's me, sincerely.
I like that.
You know what I mean? My definition of love is me.
What is your biggest goal with the writing?
It has expanded. It has expanded. Because initially I wanted to... My goal was to and is to travel the world, just reaching the people from the socially relevant, consciously sound, heartfelt poetry that I write. I wanted to impact the people. And now I'm finding myself facilitating and teaching writing classes from my poetry. You know, so it truly has expanded, and even down to, you know, my writing, things that I've written in the past really manifesting itself to this day, you know, it has been so, so influential. Yeah, man. So.
Yeah, manifesting is real.
Very, very, very much so, man. I've written some things that came to life, and it was truly a wow moment. But when I think back, sitting in those alone times and those moments of solitude, man, I'm like, yo, you wrote it down. What you thought was gonna happen, you know? So
that's beautiful.
Yeah,
very true. If you had to give advice to a kid that doesn't want to finish high school and go to college, what would be your advice to somebody like that?
That doesn't want to finish high school or go to college?
Yeah.
I would definitely inform them to finish high school. Do, like, just enjoy the roller coaster. You know what I mean? Because at those years, you really don't fully have a developed mind to think about what you really want to do. But accomplishing graduating from high school is truly a milestone. That's something that my parents like really advocated for, was for me to finish high school. And understanding years later that college is not for everyone, you know. For me, honestly, I didn't become an avid reader until after high school. You know what I mean? Being a student athlete and playing football in high school. So it was, those years was just fun, man, dedicated to fun, and of course doing the sometimes the bare minimum, but in different subjects, really excelling, you know. It was an experience. But once again, getting back to when it comes to college, I would truly say that graduating high school, do that. You feel what I'm saying? Go through the trials and tribulations that come along with it, but accomplish that. Get your GED if you have to, you know. But when it comes to college, I think it's an alternative. It's an alternative. Like, find a trade if you don't want to go to college. Find a trade. Put your passion into your what's on your heart, you know what I mean, and really go after it, you know, because there's many philanthropists, entrepreneurs, business owners out there that didn't go to college that are very successful. And we could go down a name of people, but it's just a given fact that, you know what I mean, if you really put your heart into whatever it is that you want to do and really go all out, you can really accomplish anything you want to do aside from the norm, going to college. You know what I mean? And it's I don't want to say it has become cliche, but it's a tradition. It's a tradition within, you know, the society where we come from. Yo, make sure you go to college. No doubt. You know what I mean? And I've been, the crazy thing is I was fortunate enough and gracious enough to receive my degree in my associate's degree in communications and media arts. But it was around that same time is when I developed my passion for art, and I decided to drift off and really dedicate myself to my art and dedicate myself to what I wanted to do. You know?
So hope you, I answered so that question. You would recommend college?
Yeah, and I recommend going for whatever's on your heart.
Which might not be college.
Yeah, go for whatever's on your heart, man. Chase that dream. You know what I mean? Don't let no one deter you from your dream. You know, because we have there's many individuals out here that stop believing in their dreams and begin to traditionally live their life in status quo. And it's like we're born to push the needle. We're born to, you know, crack these codes and create, you know. So go out there and create what's on your heart.
Yeah, definitely. How did you get started with the spoken word hosting and all of that?
It happened simultaneously, you know, because when I started writing, I started performing on the college campus. You know, we used to have on Wednesdays, we used to have like I forget what they called the hour or hour or two. And then they used to have open mics then. And like just the courage that I had, that I have, whatever I was writing, I was going up there and sharing it, you know. And after sharing so many times, and of course the professor, Professor Tim, shout out to her, you know, because she used to inform me about different open mics down in the city, like the Bowery, you know, not Santos Party House, the New Eureka Poetry Cafe. So the Bowery and the New Eureka Poetry Cafe is staples in Manhattan. There's several other clubs, but when you have the Bowery and New Eureka Poetry Cafe, you already know what that is, you know? And like just being in those circuits and then, you know, being from Yonkers and gaining my passion and my love for poetry, begin seeking just venues and different establishments that were hosting open mics, and just going out there and just sharing my heart, because I just found something that was new to me. And it was so liberating that I was like, yo, I got to do this every chance I get. It's fun. I'm expressing myself. And around that time, 2005, journeying through 2007, 2008, just going back and forth downtown, meeting different poets and things of that nature. And around that time, me and my brother, Marcus John, reconnected in 2009, because we both went to the same high school, but we weren't around the same circuits. We weren't around the same cliques or whatever. And but just being in that circuit in those years, 2007, 2008, I wound up bumping into him at the White Plains Library.
Right. Of all places.
Right. This is what I'm saying. And though I was by myself, Dolo, you know, because it was such a journey that was unfamiliar with those, my brothers from the neighborhood, you know. So I used to go to the open mics by myself. But that night I went to the one in the White Plains Library, Marcus John came through with a few. He came through with a few other folks. And we all clicked because it was familiar faces. LT, it was a few of us. And after that night, you know, the visionary in me, that night, maybe a week or two after, man, me and Marcus, we exchanged contacts. A week or two after that, man, I called Marcus. I'm like, yo, Marcus, we got to somehow collab, because he was the only poet I knew from Yonkers that was going out and about and doing
active.
Very active in the community. And I called him one day on my way to work. I'm like, yo, MJ, yo, we gotta collab and bring an open mic to the town, man. And yeah, I'm good. He was like, yeah, we gotta bring an open mic to the town. He was like, yeah, you're right. You know, I'm with that. And we took action immediately. We went to the Nepahan Community Center and spoke with the executive director, Dr. Bostic, at the time. And he gave us the opportunity. We chose Friday nights, and we kicked off the Soul Box in 2009.
Nice.
2009, and then that ran from 2013. You know what I mean?
That's how you do it.
Yeah, yeah. Just really taking initiative.
Doing and what that's you what love.
I, this is what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, yo, you know, of course, going to college and beginning to realize the importance of responsibility, priorities, all of the above, all of the components and elements that come along with college is so beautiful. But at the end of the day, we didn't need college to go and create a forum. You know what I'm saying? And 100%. Doing something that we loved.
100%.
And here it is now. We're hosting open mics throughout the city of Yonkers, the county of Westchester, and people are now, you know, inquiring about our services, you know. So from 2009, by the time we finished that installment, 2013, I branched off and started hosting another open mic called the Exposed Talent Open Mic. And that door closed, and then I wound up hosting another open mic called Respect the Mic Open Mic from like 2014 to 2016. And then went on a hiatus for a little moment, and now I'm currently hosting the Family Affair Open Mic at the Yonkers Art Spaces. So Once I tapped into that community, into that market, and began to realize the gifts that I have with curating and bringing people together and making people feel welcome to share their heart and share their art on the platforms that I create, just like, yo, this is it, man. Because it's there's so much fulfillment that comes along with it. You know, providing a platform and give someone the opportunity to express themselves. Can't beat it, man.
Share your heart, share your art project. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It's another endeavor that I gave birth to. Share your heart, share your art project is community-based art project, giving grassroots artists opportunity to teach classes, creative expression classes, whatever art class, whatever art medium that we can provide. So this first phase, the first installment of the project, the first three classes that I was able to give an opportunity to was kinetic sounds, visual arts, To Be Continued dance group, and my queen, she was blessed with the opportunity to teach her Girls with Superpowers step team for this first phase of the project. And now we're getting ready to relaunch the second phase, and I'm going to facilitate my creative writing classes, the Expressive Readers Writers course, and then we have the African Healing Circle where they're going to do African drumming culture, and then we have Exquisite Force that's going to be facilitating classes. So it's a culmination of just different mediums of art being afforded to the community free of charge for the community. And It's really breaking ground right now, man, because of course giving birth to it last year, it's still in its early phases, but it's catching traction. And shout out to my sponsors and my brother Wilfredo Morrell, man, who has been very supportive with this project out in Peekskill. So, you know, it's a phenomenal art project that's going to really impact many cities, many states going forward.
You know? And the funding goes through donations?
The funding is, I was awarded a grant. I was awarded some funds to facilitate this project as project manager and project curator, you know. So, yeah, it's free to the public, but the artists do get paid. The artists that teach the classes, they get paid. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Mm. Tell us about the Dove musical.
Wow.
Let's bring it back.
Wow. That was that's dope, man. That's dope because out of all of the interviews, no one has ever asked about that as far as I can remember. The Dove musical, shout out to Michelle Gabriel, man, a great, great friend of mine's. She, the Dove musical was my first acting debut. That was my acting debut. And it's a musical, of course. So my role was, I played an ex-pimp. A pimp man. It were. I played a pimp named Slick, man.
Ex-pimp. That's hilarious. Retired.
And, yeah, you know, that was truly, it was a great, great experience, man, because I got to tap into a side of me that I never knew exists, you know what I mean? Because, like, one of the first, I remember auditioning for the role, you know, and I'm a person that's calm, cool, and collective, you know what I mean? I refuse to raise my voice. It doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? But
to be a pimp.
But here's the thing, for the audition, but I almost lost the role, man. It's crazy. I was just talking about this maybe a week or two ago, man. I almost lost the role, man, because I had to yell the opening act. I had to raise my voice, like, and really, really crack down on one of the actors that was playing the part and, like, really barking on her, you know what I mean? And I remember, like, auditioning for that role, I had to do that take maybe, we did several takes, 3 to 4. And then we had to have a conversation about, like, really, it worked. We had to have a conversation about, like, really diving into a place where it's like, yo, get angry. You feel what I'm saying? And I'm not the type to get angry.
They were working with you. That's 1,000. They wanted you.
That's exactly. So I will say, I commend and give flowers to Michelle, a great, great friend of mine. She's still out here doing her thing, you know what I mean? And she gave me that role. We went on to act in several. We did the Dove musical, and then we did Dove musical 1, Dove musical 2, and then it was a spinoff to that we did as well. And phenomenal experience, man.
That's awesome.
Phenomenal experience, my brother.
Artistry is beautiful.
Yeah, and it was like, I remember after after the first role, I remember people coming up to me, yo, you should really get into acting, man. You should really go for it. And, you know, down the line, who knows what happened.
Because it's just a part of being an artist.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy for you to fall into it. The same way you fell into it the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. It's all the same as love for expression.
Yeah.
I always say it's like taking time to tap into your inner child, what you really enjoy.
And that's the thing. I'm a kid at heart, man.
That's why you tap it into it.
Yeah, I'm a kid at heart, and I'm a firm believer in just like, going after your dreams and really being different. Not being afraid to be different.
Yeah, just being yourself is being different.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. That's it. You stand out already.
Yeah.
A lot of people try to fit in. That's
yeah. I have no desire.
That's a job.
Yeah, I have no desire at all, man. None whatsoever.
Do you use AI at all?
No.
Straight up, no.
No. Yeah, it's crazy though. I was having a talk with another brother of mine some time ago, and I was like, "Yo, what is AI? I keep hearing about it." And he was like, "Yo, you write books, man. So you could input some information into AI, and they could basically write a whole book for you." And I'm just like, "Wow, that's interesting." You know what I mean? But that's also that takes a minute. I don't know, man. I wouldn't even give much energy to the thought of it. You know?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It's a world of its own, man.
It really is. Mm. What do you do for your mental health?
Music is a big part of it. Music, spending time with family, most importantly, writing. I definitely like to take little drives here and there. Still playing ball when I get the opportunity to, you know. Spending time with my family, you know, my son, my fiance to be, for sure. Just family. That's what does it for me. That keeps me grounded, you know, being around family, laughing. Most importantly, man, laughing every chance I get, you know. Watching old films that's kind of nostalgic of my childhood.
What are your favorite movies? I love movies.
The first one that comes to mind, like, you know, I was honestly thinking about it the other night, watching Friday.
Part one?
Yeah, part one. I was watching that, but then I started
thinking. The best one.
Yeah, I started thinking about No Holds Bars. You know what I'm saying? No Holds Bars. You know that one?
I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah, that's Hulk Hogan. right. So it's Hulk Hogan fighting Zeus, and Zeus of course is Debo. You know what I'm saying? So like watching Friday, seeing God rest Tiny Lester's soul as well, man. Watching him, it reminded me of No Holds Bars. And watching movies like that, of course, Last Dragon, you know what I mean? That all of that brings me back to my childhood. And, you know, from like linking up with my brothers to this day, we'll go into little moments of quoting these movies because the laughter, the humor that we found in it, you know what I mean? So, like, doing things like that, man, like really staying grounded to what brought me this far, you know what I'm saying? Like doing the things that brought me this far, like spending time with the family, of course, barbecuing and grilling and things of that nature.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, all of the above, man. I'm
the act of grilling, the act of cooking, the act of doing something is therapy.
Oh my gosh! And of course, I like to chill big time. Like, you know what I'm saying, whenever I get the opportunity to sit back and relax,
I also like to chill.
Oh my gosh, man, that's huge for my mental health, man. But it's a variety of things, you know. It's a variety, and of course, praying. Mm. Praying is big for me, man. Big time, you know, and just doing things that keeps me grounded in peace.
I like it. Before we pressed record, we mentioned positivity. We were listening to the music. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Your music is very positive.
Yeah.
Actually, we could also talk about the YouTube. Tom Ray TV on YouTube. Check it out.
Yes, please do.
We were listening to his music before we pressed record, and we agreed that positivity doesn't get pushed. The negative music, the negative ideas, all that stuff gets pushed. How do you feel about this? Let's talk about it. Does it ever turn you away from doing what you do?
At times, it used to get discouraging.
Discouraging, that's the word I was thinking about.
Yeah, at times, it used to get discouraging. But, like, just understanding there's an agenda. There's an agenda behind the promotion and the marketing and exposure of what somewhat like just makes our community look horrible. You feel what I'm saying? That alone, that agenda gives me the motivation to continue cracking the pavement with my content, with my poetry, with my
love.
With my love, most importantly, my poetry in motion. You know what I mean? So it's like, to me, I've grown and evolved to adopt the mentality that it all serves a purpose. Because regardless if the positivity is not pushed, you know what I mean, there's a void that needs to be filled. You know, so if we continue, those who really stand on integrity, you know, if they continue to crack that pavement, they'll eventually surface, you know, and I'm living proof. You know what I mean? Stay down till you come up. And there's many people out there that are seeking positivity as well. It's just being that it's not popular. It's not trendy.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. And for me, I've never been one to follow trends, you know? So it's like, I can't say I've never been one to follow trends. I'm just not big into following trends, you know? And it's like, I'm a firm believer in individuality, you know? So it's like, nothing would persuade me to follow the status quo or do the things that is provoking people to go viral just to get some attention. And it's just like, I'm a firm believer that there's people out there that want it. You know what I mean? And you gotta do the groundwork to go and get the exposure as well. So that's why I go back and forth to these open mics and just building relationships outside of the city of Yonkers that, you know, the word of mouth carries, man. The word of mouth carries. And just being a student of art, being a student of hip hop, being a student of culture, most importantly, just remembering the golden era of rap where people, artists, they stood on their individuality and were able to impact the world, and as many of them still doing so by pushing the positive, like we just spoke about KRS-One. There's people out there that love him
100%,
that is selling out shows still. There's many of them, you know what I mean? It's many of them. And I believe a lot of the great artists that we admire are poets as well, you know? So it's like, they're pushing their truth, man. And there's many artists that stand on integrity, man, you know? So
yeah, we need more of that.
No.
100%.
Yeah.
Who's the first person you think of when you think of success?
Wow. My father, God rest his soul. My father, Tom Ray Sr. You know, understanding parenthood now as a father. I remember the day my mother passed away, 1993, and watching my father.
You were 8 years old.
Yeah. Watching my father hysterically crying at the doorstep as I was being brought to the apartment that my aunt, who I consider to be my mother, she brought me to. But watching him cry that night and understanding that as an adult, understanding everything that he had to journey through to raise his son, you feel what I'm saying? To be a family man. to be a provider, to stand on peace, to the example of cool, calm, and collective for me.
My man.
You know, exactly. The true example, you know what I mean? Watching him also beat cancer.
You my know? Man.
Yeah, watching him beat cancer. I remember the day he came to my crib and, you know, he sat on the edge of the bed as we would usually do. And we was talking and he was like, yo, the doctor told me that cancer is no longer in my blood. And just knowing how much he was fighting through all of that, you know, he fought until the day God called him home. So, you know, just seeing a fighter that was that he was instilled with, you know, that's the first person that comes to mind when I think about success, sincerely. Just watching him just journey through, triumph through, you know, through everything he faced in his life. It's he never quit. He never quit and he was one that until his ailments came before God called him home, my pops would life of the party, man. He couldn't sit still. I'm saying he had to be out and about, of course, coming to check me. You know what I mean? Just the bond that we had, you know, anything and everything I did. He was the one, my father was the one that told me, which it gives me the fire every day to not quit at all. But my father told me one day as I was hosting a show, before I was hosting a show one night, he was like, yo, you definitely gonna make it. You're definitely gonna make it. And of course, making it, what comes up in my mind is just being able to provide for my family without a worry in the world. Like, I don't have a worry now, but of course, you know, the struggles that we face, just want to triumph through that. You know what I mean? So success is the mission. You know what I'm saying? Success is truly the mission.
I like that. Yeah. And your aunts, Rosie and Renee.
Yeah, exactly.
You refer to them like mothers.
Yeah, yeah.
You lived with them?
No, so Aunt Rosie I lived with. She, my mother's sister. So the night my mother passed away, God rest my mother's soul, you know, they both lived with me as spirits. The night my mother passed away, Rosie and Aunt Renee, they were the ones that like thoroughly broke it down to me moments after my mom's, because I didn't really understand exactly what was going on until them two broke it down. And directly after that, it was just like, that's when I went into that mold as a adolescent, man, just going into emotionally shutting down academically, you know what I mean? Just shutting down as a child would after they lost their mother, you know. But family, that's why family is so therapeutic for my mental health, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for family. You know what I'm saying?
100%. None of us would.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Family is everything.
Yeah, it means the world to me, man.
I tell my daughter all the time, all you have is family.
That's it.
Everybody else is temporary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only thing you have on this entire earth is
even
family.
Even the ones that you may have differences with,
they're still your family.
You can't get away from them. You know what I'm saying? And that's just real. That's authenticity at its best, where you have family members that you might not condone their ways, but it's your family, man. That's, you gotta family. Love them. That's who God gave you.
All the material things mean nothing. That's the only thing you have. A real connection to.
That's it.
But you know, telling a teenager that is tough.
It is, man. And it's
because you're breaking out into this new person, mm-hmm. and then you're relaying with friends that same feeling. Like, oh, you feel this way too. We're growing the same time. So of course I understand. It's impossible to tell them to not have friends.
Life experiences will teach them. You know what I'm saying? Life experiences will teach them.
Man. Just like they taught us.
Exactly. That's why it's like, I know now. I knew then. You feel what I'm saying? I understood then, but I thoroughly know now. Like, you feel what I'm saying? That's like, those are my greatest moments, man. Sitting sitting, chopping it up with them, laughing and breaking bread. Yeah.
Thinking back, it was nothing.
The silliness of everything, you know? And just laughing, joking, you feel what I'm saying? Talking about goals and aspirations, man.
Everything.
Yeah, I love it.
I miss it. The innocence in it.
Absolutely.
That's what it was, the innocence.
I love it, man.
As a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be like Mike, man.
Michael, which one? Jackson or Jordan?
Well, I was a big Michael Jackson fan, but Michael Jordan. I was a big.
The two greats.
Yeah, I wanted to be like Michael Jordan, man. Like your airness. Like I always tell people, man, I had, as a youngin', this wasn't in the cards for me. I had athletic dreams, you feel what I'm saying?
I see.
I had athletic dreams. And that's why I know it's a gift. You know what I'm saying? Because this wasn't even in my deck of cards, man. You know what I'm saying? Mine was finger rolling and fadeaway, a Jordan fadeaway, man.
How far did you take that dream? Did you make it to like
by the time
I got to high school,
my love for basketball somewhat decreased and I began playing football. And football became the muse. I wasn't a all American, if I'm saying, but I played my part and I played with some great brothers that are my brothers in arms to this day, my heart, you know. Football became that muse, and then as I graduated from high school, that's when my football IQ started advancing. And then when I went into college, the school didn't have a football team.
Damn.
And that was it. That was it.
Well, yeah, it wasn't your love.
Say again?
It wasn't your love.
No, it wasn't as passionate. I didn't have the greatest passion for it, no. I didn't.
You found your way.
Yeah, truthfully speaking, I didn't have the greatest passion for it. That 12th grade year, like I said, when I begin like really understanding the IQ and the hunger that came along with it, it was just like, yeah, I like this. I love it. You feel what I'm saying? But once college came about and they didn't have one at the school, I was just like, yeah, it's over.
It's over.
But at the same time, I still like to pick up games in the neighborhood. Around the city, you know, I would always turkey bowls and stuff like that. But now it's flag football. Because I'll still, Thanksgiving mornings, I'll still get up and play a game of flag football with the fellas. And, you know, do my 1-2 thing and be sore as ever for about a week. But I definitely enjoy the camaraderie of it all. Like I said, brothers from high school, man, 20 years plus.
Nice.
To this day, like this, man, you know,
that's real love.
Exactly, that's blood, dope. Sweat, and tears, man. It's because it's so much. It's so many. Like the game is 90% mental. So the mental lessons that you learn with being a athlete or building that camaraderie with those that you broke blood, sweat, and tears and broke bread with, you know, it's many of them. It's many of them, you know, that I hold daily to my heart, man. Daily. Brothers, man.
It's good to have people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. What are three things you need to be happy?
Family. God, family. Some good-ass food, man. I don't need much. I really don't.
Food is life.
God, family, and food, and just being able to do what I would love to do at any given moment.
Do you have a favorite thing that you eat?
Chicken.
What do you mean? Come on.
Yeah, nah,
I mean like a meal, a dish, or something.
Yeah, it's chicken, man. Chicken George, my brother. No, but honestly. It varies, man. It varies. It definitely varies, you know.
Best thing you ever ate? You have one of those?
The best thing I ever ate, man.
anything you could eat every day?
I've had a variety, man. A variety. My palate has expanded from seafood to vegan food to plant-based food, of course, soul food. You know, so I'm more intrigued by the flavors now.
What's the number one spot?
No, the flavors.
I mean, what's the number one? What takes the number one spot?
Referring to flavor, like if there's something, if it's something. So I'm. This is a very interesting question right here, man. One night, me and my lady, we went to. I forget the name. Texas de Brazil in Ridge Hill. They do like a garlic infused London broil or something like that.
Mm.
Incredible, my brother. that's what I'm saying. It's incredible because like I love garlic. You feel what I'm saying? So and then I make a incredible either a jerk salmon. Like I like to cook. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? So I'll make an incredible jerk salmon. Or now I've been not even experiment. I've added to the repertoire the honey ginger salmon.
Mm.
My gosh, garlic mashed potatoes and asparagus, man. And
I honey my salmon, but I don't ginger my salmon.
Oh, try it,
honey ginger.
Try it, my brother. And then of course, just adding your whatever you want to add to it.
What type of ginger? Like, do you crush it?
So it's a marinade. It's a marinade. Okay. I can't give you too much, but off air. It's definitely a marinade, and then of course adding your spices mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Yeah, man. I'm big on Cuban food as well. Cuban or just Hispanic food. You know what I mean? Because of the flavor, the cilantro mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, just the garlic, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, I could talk about food for days.
Yeah, man.
What's the most exciting thing you ever did?
It's a list, man.
Number one spot.
It's a list. Wow. It's a list, man. Traveling with the brothers, man. You know, traveling with my brothers. Going from Colombia to Miami to California to... You know, traveling, just the excitement that comes along with, like, just the laughter, man. It's a lot, man. We would have to really sit here and have a whole full conversation about the most exciting things, you know. One that comes to mind is, right off the rip that comes to mind is... The award that I just received, the Legacy of Arts in the Community Award this past February at City Hall. I was honored by City Council President Lakeisha Collins, Lakeisha Bellamy Collins. And just receiving that award and having the whole fam, like just a majority of my family there, was very exciting, man. Just to see family there and then hosting... hosting the Juneteenth summer stages, you know, just seeing the hearts being touched by the curation of what I was able to create, you know, is very exciting. Seeing releasing, getting the first copy of my third book was exciting. Very exciting. The birth of my son. That's top dog. You feel what I'm saying?
That's what I'm asking for. That number one spot.
That's the birth of my son is top dog. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Watching him grow and evolve is everything.
How old is he?
He's 2 years old.
Now. My man.
Yeah, that's everything, you know?
God
but
bless.
It's so much. That encompasses my excitement, man. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. Seeing the smiles on, like, walking into, like, I work in the Yonkers Public School District, right? I've been doing that for 15 years as a teacher's assistant. And walking in the classrooms and seeing the kids express, like, their expressions when I walk in the classroom. It's crazy. You could be. I could walk in there, unbeknownst to them, hung over from the night before. whatever transpired the night before.
Open mic night.
Whatever. I'll walk in and Mr. Ray, you know what I mean? The excitement on their faces. And then I'll give them all a dap and stuff like that, you know? So walking in the house, seeing my son, like his excitement when I walk in the crib, you know, it's seeing the look on my lady's face when, you know, she just taking across the world, you know what I mean? Taking on trips and things of that nature. Everything, man. Being able to provide for the family is exciting. Being able to, you know, give a helping hand to someone is exciting. You know, giving artists the first time opportunity to express themselves on the stages and platforms that are created is exciting. Seeing the looks on people's face when I collab with them and they get a taste of the majestic energy is exciting, man. You know, so it's just so much.
Everything that comes from love is exciting. That's how you wrap it up?
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, it's love is exciting. You know what I mean? Like real pure agape love is exciting, man.
What's agape?
Unconditional.
Oh, right.
Unconditional love is exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean? That love that you see or that you get from a relative that you haven't seen in a while, that you know. Yeah. That love that you
authentic
see from
love, yeah, real love.
It's so exciting, man. So exciting. Like seeing one of my cousins, my cousin Lei, right? He's one of the cousins that I always hear, like, yo, my cousin Layton, man. I always hear, like, yo, I don't know how you could like chill with cuz, man. He's wild and crazy, man. I love it though. Me personally, I love it. He and I, man, and I'm gonna definitely send you this interview when you see it, my brother. My great cousin, man. We done damn near flipped cars over on the road. Late night, just having fun out there, man. And
fun. That sounds dangerous.
My screws are loose, man. You feel what I'm saying? So, man. What excites me, man, is just the laughter of life, man. The laughter, love and laughter of life. Mm. Right.
That's where it's at. Mm-hmm. As you get older, what has become more important and less important?
What has become more important, sincerely, being more mindful of dieting. You feel what I'm saying? Being more mindful of, you know, being that kid that just used to love junk food and chips and, you know what I mean, a honey bun and stuff like that, really eliminating that kind of stuff. What has become less important? Wow. What has become less important? Wanting to be out and about. I'm saying, popping up at all of the occasions and feeling obligated to be everywhere I'm invited. I'm saying it's that has become less important, you know. Attire. Yeah, man. Less important. That's another question we could sit here and chop it up about.
You could drop a few gems about what's more important to you, which is the diet part. Any gems you could drop for the viewers? What not to eat, what to eat? Sum it up.
Moderate it. You feel what I'm saying? Moderate what you do eat. You feel what I'm saying? Incorporate more fruits, more holistic. More holistic dieting, you know, get your minerals in you, your sea moss, your ginger, you feel what I'm saying, your garlic intake, things of that nature, of course, water, tea, you feel what I'm saying, fast as well, fast. being mindful of the times that you're eating as well. I struggle with that, you know what I mean? Eating late, you feel what I'm saying? But just being mindful of all of that, you feel what I'm saying? And it's a task. It's a challenge, you know what I mean? But I'm up for it, you know, just to show my son what's really important. Less important, of course, like, for instance, like being invited to several events yeah. throughout the week. And because of the notoriety that I have built, because of the notoriety that I have built, you know, like people really, really want me to show up to different occasions. And it's like, yo, as much in the past as I really wanted it, as I really, like, they'll hit me up, and if I'm spontaneously available to do it, I will show up. But nowadays, it's like being more cognizant and conscious of the rest that I need to be able to show up for myself, show up for the family, you know.
Time is the most valuable thing we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, the like, I remember there was a time in my life where I used to love partying and clubbing and stuff like that. That's truly have gone out the window. I still love to have a good time, but it's very, very good. A good time has become sitting in the crib and enjoying a good Netflix special or something like that.
And, my man, how out. Times have changed.
Yeah, and really chilling out. You know, what has become less valuable? Wow. The need for the things that we think we need. Or, the things that we think we want, like just being very, very cognizant of that as well. You feel what I'm saying? I've always been one to, and this is something I'm learning to, adopt in my lifestyle, where if there is anything that I want, I'm going to go and get it. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm just being mindful of the monetary or just the value of things, where it's just like, do I really need that? Nah. You know what I'm saying? So I've been spending more time on like really investing into my family's future. And that means like really investing into the things that I'm doing to be able to really sincerely leave a legacy behind versus just leaving things we can physically touch, you know. None of that really matters, you feel what I'm saying?
100%. Yeah. 100%. What would be the best piece of advice you'd give your younger self?
One thing that comes to my mind, like right away as you ask that question, is one of my coaches, God rest, Coach Lombardi Soul. I remember one day before practice, he had told me to, and that's like a two-part, he had told me to stay away from the knuckleheads, right? And I think about it, where it's like that transition in college where I begin to seek knowledge of self, I wish, and I don't have any regrets, but I just wish that I would have started seeking knowledge of self a little bit earlier. You know what I'm saying? Becoming more aware of...
How much earlier, though? Because I think before we press record, you told me it was early. You were seeking, like, 21 years old.
It was...
That's pretty early on. I feel like that's great.
Yeah, and that's why it's a complex question, man. Because once again, I don't have any regrets. Yeah, it was just like, I guess that's just it, man. Like really, really taking on a journey early enough of really like betting on self and seeking knowledge of self and betting on self. I wish I would have seeking knowledge of self. That's what I would have had told myself. Seek knowledge of self earlier and bet on self earlier, you know, but that's as an adult understanding that now is just like, it comes from education. It comes from the experience, but then also like the your family having that education as well, you know, because just imagine if my parents, my the adults in my family would have told me that earlier. You feel what I'm saying?
If you had to tell a kid right now watching to seek knowledge, what specifically would you tell him to seek?
Read about your culture, man. Read about the greatness of us. Read about, you know, seeking a personal relationship with God. Love yourself. I'm saying, look in the mirror and become comfortable with who you are, you know. And don't take life so serious. Keep that childlike mentality alive throughout all of your years. Keep that childlike mentality alive, man, because that's what's gonna get you over the hump. You know what I mean?
I like it. What are your overall life goals?
Wow. The first goal that comes to mind is having a house for my family. A house where, you know, the family is well taken care of. Continuing to travel the world, sharing my heart and sharing my art. Leaving generational wealth. Creating generational wealth that I'm able to enjoy the fruits of the labor, but at the same time, I'm able to leave behind, you know, where, you know, that's something that's huge for me. And then living as long as possible to enjoy it all.
I like it. We're nearing the end of the podcast. Please let the people know where they could find you, if you have anything coming up, and any last advice you'd like to give the people.
Oh, man. You could find me. This was dope, man. This is dope.
I appreciate
this
that. Dope. This
is dope. You could find me in the streets of Yonkers, man, advocating and doing my 1-2 thing, curating and hosting. I host the Family Affair open mic at Yonkers Arts Project Space, and we're looking to have the next installment next month in April. You can look out for my next book, The Thoughts of Ray, a light edition, coming up this summer. Wow, man. The soundtrack complementing the book as well. Another soundtrack. Yeah, man. Also facilitating workshops and different conferences to educate the community and financial literacy as well. Just building and giving people the opportunity to grow with me. Those that are sincerely dedicated to growth, opening doors for them. You could find me on Facebook at Tom Ray, TomRay, on Instagram, TR_DATS_IT. And subscribe to my YouTube page, Tom Ray TV, man. You know, I got a lot going on. And through the grace of God, man, I appreciate all of the support, you know, success of the mission. Go after your heart, man, you know, go after what's on your heart. Never let anyone tell you that you can't do something, man. Stay encouraged and stay hydrated, you know, stay hydrated. Drink a lot of water, get some exercise, man, and enjoy life. Enjoy life, enjoy your family, enjoy your loved ones. You only get this one. You only get this run once, man. You feel what I'm saying? Enjoy your loved ones and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Peace.
Beautifully ended. Thank you very much for those beautiful words. Yeah. Please take those words into accountability. True story. Worry about your family. That's the most important thing you have on earth. Everything else is temporary. Your family is what you really have. Thank you, everybody, for watching. You can find me also on Spotify, Apple Podcast. Please subscribe to this channel. It means a lot to me. All it takes is just a click of your screen.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Peace and love.
Infinite love.